We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Definitely hard to be a perfectionist because, especially in a sport like softball, where it's a game of failure, it's really impossible to be perfect in the game. And so I think that's definitely helped me figure out how to deal with not being perfect, because it's not possible in everything you do in your life, and softball's definitely not something you can be perfect at. So that's been nice to figure out a way for me to not care as much if something doesn't go my way, because not everything is going to be that way in life.
This is the Mighty Oregon Podcast. And this is Ducks softball infielder Allie Bunker. Perfect game. Do it nice or do it twice. The mindset of a perfectionist can be a torturously rewarding experience. Always giving it your best effort is something every athlete, whether amateur or professional, has been taught since they were in grade school. Having that mindset is tough in softball, when getting a hit less than half the time puts you in the record books.
Bunker drives that one to left center field. Allie leaves the yard. 2-1 Ducks. Wow!
Allie Bunker has rewritten the records during her time at Oregon, whether it be on the diamond or off. In the field of play, Bunker will finish off her Ducks career in the top five in hits, runs, and RBIs. Those mind-blowing stats aren't lost on Bunker, something she says she'll cherish with her forever. We're talking right now on the precipice of the postseason. You're a kid who committed to this program, and then there was a coaching change. COVID impacts two seasons significantly of your career, and yet you guys have had a bunch of success as well the last couple years. You've put your name all over the record book. Just how are you feeling? Are you doing much big picture thinking at this stage of the season, or is that still all for later?
I think I'm saving it for later a little bit. There's definitely been glimpses of that throughout the season where I'm like, oh my gosh, can't believe I've come this far and there's only a few weeks or months left. But I try not to think about that because it makes me sad, because I see how far I've come as an individual and how far we've come as a team. And I'm like, wow, cannot believe these 5 years have flown by as quickly as they have. And I think even before my freshman year, people would tell me, oh yeah, it's going to fly by, it's going to fly by. And when you're in the moment, it doesn't seem like it's going to fly by, because it gets really hard and it gets difficult. But now that I'm in my fifth year, I can confidently say they're right, and it does fly by.
Rip Carlson. Boom! And just like that, we have got ourselves a ball game. Carlson goes yard again! She knew right away. We all did, didn't we? You don't need to worry about tagging there, Allie Bunker. So Bunker with that run. Allie Bunker is the first in Oregon history to be in the top five in career hits, runs, doubles, and RBIs.
Let's go back to the start for you and the dual excellence that you're experiencing now in athletics and academics. How did each of those emerge? What were influences on your life that those both became priorities that weren't competing with each other, but that you could manage and that would complement each other?
I think I have been a lot more consistent in my academics since COVID, to be honest.
Really?
And I know a lot of people would say otherwise, but I think COVID definitely forced me to figure out, okay, what else do I have besides softball? Because everything shut down. Softball season was over. Everyone went home and was on their own and away from the team and away from athletics. There were no sports on TV. And I think it forced me and a lot of others to think, well, what else do I have going? Because this is going to be my life once I'm done playing softball at the University of Oregon. Like, I'm going to be done being an athlete. And what's next? And I think from there, that's when I started to take academics a lot more seriously and kind of found pride and joy in learning. I was not as focused academically freshman year. I still performed well because I'm a perfectionist naturally, but it wasn't something that I truly enjoyed. But I found through Zoom school somehow the ability for me to enjoy learning and not just take exams, to actually enjoy the process of studying and whatnot. So I think I'm one of few that came out positive after COVID academically, but it definitely gave me something outside of softball to have. So sometimes softball is not very controllable in the outcomes, regardless of how hard you work. And I think academics is a little bit more controllable in that the more you put into it, the more you get out of it. And I think that's really rewarding.
I'm interested to hear you say that because you're in the accounting master's program. You were pre-business when you got here, and your parents both worked in business, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in some ways, it feels like you were like destined to be, you know, an accomplished business student, and yet the focus really came just in the last few years. But tell me a little bit more about kind of the home environment you grew up in and kind of how those influences impacted you in your early years.
So growing up, I grew up with my parents, and both of them worked in business jobs, and they still do. And I think from that, I just kind of wanted something similar to what they have, just something stable, the ability to be with your kids on the weekends and stuff like that. And I think that's kind of what brought me into the University of Oregon, thinking I wanted to do something within business. There's a million things to do with a business degree. So that was kind of my first choice of things when I came into Oregon, was I wanted to be in the business school, and the Lundquist College of Business is amazing. So just being able to get into the business school was amazing in itself. And then I ended up choosing the accounting route, which a lot of my other family members, not my parents, my grandpa and my aunt and a few other cousins are in the accounting profession. And they really enjoyed it, had great careers, and really had great lives and have great lives. So I think that was something that I really wanted to. And accounting just so happened to be something that I enjoyed going throughout the business school process. Growing up, my parents always called me super mature, and definitely when I was younger, I felt myself a little bit more mature than others. Just, I don't know, it's just kind of how I grew up. I'm a perfectionist, and so I think that's probably me trying to emulate, I don't know, quote-unquote perfection.
Yeah.
which is not always a great thing for me.
Well, and it can be defined in so many ways. So mm-hmm. Like, how are you defining perfection? And how are you coming to terms with being a perfectionist? Because that's a double-edged sword. I mean, that can have some real benefits, but it can be hard. And believe me, I'm not that person. But I've observed in others, it can be hard to shoulder that. So tell me about kind of realizing that about yourself and then coming to terms with the benefits, but also potentially the drawbacks that kind of mindset can have.
Yeah, I think from a young age, my mom told me a story once when I was probably 1 or 2 years old, and I was drawing a picture, and I colored or messed up outside the lines, and I ripped up the paper and threw it away. And she was like, uh-oh, this kid's going to be interesting.
It was just inherent in you. If I'm going to do something, I want to do it right.
Right. Yeah. And I'd say I get that from my dad. My dad is very much like that as well. And, you know, it's a struggle sometimes because I grew up and I didn't have the same humor as kids my age. So sometimes it was hard to fit into a group of friends when I was younger.
You took things more seriously, sometimes perhaps too seriously?
Mm-hmm, yep, too seriously a lot of the times. Hard to let loose. Even now, it's hard for me to let loose just because I just enjoy company with older people. I mean, I grew up with my grandparents, like going to their house every other day and playing cards with my grandparents. I like having the adult conversations, and that's just something that I enjoy. And so I think that might be part of it too. It's definitely hard to be a perfectionist because, especially in a sport like softball, where it's a game of failure, it's really impossible to be perfect in the game. And so I think that's definitely helped me figure out how to deal with not being perfect, because it's not possible in everything you do in your life, and softball is definitely not something you can be perfect at. So that's been nice to figure out a way for me to not care as much if something doesn't go my way, because not everything is going to be that way in life.
As you say, you can't control everything in softball. I mean, so when you're, you know, there's times this year when you're hitting like 430 or something.
Kicking from one legend to another. Allie Bunker, 31 career home runs. She made it 2-1 with that blast, but they weren't done.
When you see, you know, not that you're looking at your stats all the time, I'm sure, but when you see or hear that you're hitting 430, and I'm going, oh my God, that's amazing. Are you going, or has there been a time in your life when you're going, ugh, that means I failed 57% of the time?
I don't think anymore.
Okay.
I don't think I ever really thought of it that way. That's the one thing that I've been pretty consistent with, is I know that there's no way you can hit 1,000 in the game of softball, in college softball, and in any sort of level. I definitely look at it more from a smaller perspective. Like in this game, I was 0-2, and I'm like, oh man, that 0-2 sucks. In the grand scheme of things, doing really well throughout the season, but that 0-2 sometimes is really just burning in the back of your mind. And I think anybody could say that, regardless of being a perfectionist or not. Anyone in the game of softball on my team could probably say that that burns in the back of their mind. Sure. Sometimes. But it's just figuring out a way to handle that. And I don't know, I think I've gotten better with that over the years. It's really hard to be in a constant state of, you know, letting your emotions be dictated by statistics or how well you did in one game, because then you're just not happy.
What all interests, subjects did you explore as a young kid? I mean, and how does softball emerge as a passion for you?
Mm-hmm. My dad and mom enrolled me in rec ball for soccer and softball when I was, I think, 5 years old. And I played both for 4 years. And then at one point, I kind of had to decide between the two, because soccer and softball ended up running in the same season 1 year, and we were going back and forth, back and forth. My parents still had my younger sister as well, who was involved in other things. So it was just hard for them to go back and forth, and it was hard for me to play a soccer game and then change my clothes in the car and go play a softball game. So it was kind of the point where I'm like, all right, let's pick one and really go after one. And I don't know how I chose softball. But I thought it was just more dynamic and a lot more involved, and so I really enjoyed it. So I chose softball, and I'm glad I did, because I ended up here.
But in an alternate universe, are you playing college soccer somewhere? Do you feel like you were hopefully potentially on about the same track in terms of how accomplished you could become?
Possibly. I'm not going to say for sure, because who knows?
Sure.
But I'd say I was definitely, like, equally good at both. Not amazing at either, but, you know, like, either way, I probably would have had a good chance of pursuing it outside of high school. At the time, didn't think about that. Neither did my parents. I mean, talking about college sports at the age of 9 or 10 is pretty crazy. And my parents didn't have a lot of experience with people in our family that had done sports collegiately or anything like that. So there's no really knowledge. So that wasn't really on the forefront of anyone's mind at the time.
I've talked to some softball players. You talked about, you know, they're playing in an accomplished enough club that they have a lot of people around them that knew how to navigate like recruiting and things like that. At some point, do you get to that point where you have some influences in your life that know what you're getting yourself into? Or were you really kind of flying blind?
I think at first I was flying blind, and then I started going to a hitting coach, Tony Rico, down in Southern California. Big time travel ball coach, had been there, done that many, many years. He was kind of the person that introduced me to a higher level of softball.
How old are you at that point?
I think I was 10 when I started to see him for hitting lessons, and that was just for hitting lessons. I was still in rec ball, and it wasn't anything crazy, but he kind of was my mentor growing up, and I spent many days a week in his facility hitting, and I was just always at that facility. And I think being around him, and then he had a bunch of older girls, high school girls that were older and all committed to colleges, I think being around them a lot as well made me realize, oh, that's what people do past the age of 12, is they go and play collegiately. And that was kind of where I first started to understand what college softball was all about. So he was definitely a big part of that. Looking back on it, it didn't feel like work at all. It didn't feel like, oh, I got to go to practice. I never really dreaded having to go. It was just something that I did. And I think that's really special that I had that sort of environment to grow up in, because I know a lot of kids now probably don't have access to a facility like that where you can basically go hang out all day. And so that's something that I definitely don't take for granted looking back on it. And it taught me a lot. And maybe that also led to part of my maturity, because I was around girls that were much older than me in high school when I was in middle school or even elementary school. And they really kind of opened my eyes to what could be, what I could become as a softball player.
It all got started in the first inning for the Oregon Ducks. Allie Bunker loves to hit doubles. Shows you why. Right out of the chutes, two RBI, two bagger for Allie Bunker. And just like that, Oregon had a lead that they would never relinquish. Now, Oregon State fought.
And up to that point, what are you trying to get out of the game? Is it just I'm having fun with my friends? And then at what point, because obviously, I mean, particularly a few years ago, a little less now, I think, around the age of 12 is when like earning a scholarship and committing to a college, you know, started to come into play. So is that about that point in your life?
Yeah, it was about 12 years old, 13. I was like, wow, people are actually committing right now. And I was on a travel team with an amazing coach who was really into getting us all committed somewhere. And it was an older team too. So the girls were a year older. So they were more, and it was, they were freshmen. I was in eighth grade. And so it seems really early when we're talking about it now because of the rule change, but
it seems patently ridiculous to be talking about like a 12-year-old making a college choice.
Yeah.
But that was the reality, especially back then.
Yeah. It was pretty ridiculous looking back on it, even at the time. I remember going on a visit in eighth grade to Oregon. It was April of my eighth grade year. And I came back to school that after that weekend, and I was wearing an Oregon sweatshirt. I hadn't committed or anything. It was just to check out the campus and watch a couple games. And I was like, I went to Oregon for a visit. And people were like, oh, you just went there to see the school? I'm like, yeah, well, they're actually interested in recruiting me for college. And no one believed me. My teachers didn't believe me because I mean, it
Who
just seems ridiculous.
Terms? Yeah.
Yeah, it seems totally ridiculous. So when I committed that summer, so after my eighth grade year, I committed to Oregon. I mean, at the time, I don't think Instagram was really that big of a thing. Twitter, not that big of a thing. And social media for an eighth grader wasn't that big of a thing. So I didn't really tell a whole lot of people. I think the only people that knew were my teammates on my travel team and my parents and family members. But it's weird because I don't even think most of my family members understood what it even meant. My parents did, but my family members were like, oh, well, you're committed there, but you're still going to be looking at other schools, right? And I'm like, no, this is where I'm going.
Was there like certain players here that you looked up to, anything like that? Or is it really just colors, logos, stadium, sort of more, I guess, impractical, almost, you know, ethereal, almost elements of becoming a Duck? Just hearing you talk through it, you know, it sounds like you're laughing a little bit at like the reasons why you might have made the decision. Like, as you look back, what were the biggest influences that way? What did Oregon softball mean to you at that point?
Yeah, I think when I went on my visit, I met with a bunch of the girls on the team, and a few of them, I can name a few, Janelle Linval, Coral Costa, Jamie Ray Sullivan. Those are just a few of the girls that had actually come from my travel ball organization and that had played for the same coach that I had been playing for, or who was basically my mentor.
Yeah.
They had played for him. And so I think that was something too that I was like, wow, like it's actually possible for me because I'm related to these people. So that was definitely huge because I knew that I belonged because they were from the same organization. They played the game of softball similarly to me. That was huge for sure. I think just the University of Oregon in general, I love mountains and trees. And being from Huntington Beach, California, it's beach and people. And I, from a young age, I definitely wouldn't say that's my cup of tea. I love mountains and rivers and lakes and all that. And so Oregon kind of fit everything. And sure, when I committed, I had no idea what I was doing. I just kind of said, sure, like, that sounds great. I'll commit.
Yeah.
Not really knowing how important this was in the course of my life. But I mean, I got really lucky that I chose an amazing university and, you know, everything fell into place.
The irony of that, of course, is that so much is different, ends up being different than the circumstances that you commit to. You know, a coaching change happens, you end up having a pandemic during your career. So, so many hurdles present themselves that you never could have seen coming. But when you make that commitment, basically you still have a full high school career to play. Like, you know, if you're a football player, your high school career is about earning that scholarship. You know, you probably don't get it until your senior year, maybe junior year for some guys. You know, what is high school ball and travel ball when you're in high school mean to you in terms of your development, given that you kind of already know what you're doing after?
Yeah, I think it was definitely kind of having to prove myself. It's one thing to be committed to a school, and it's another to continually get better. And one thing that I was always a little bit scared about, you know, being a perfectionist and everything, is how am I going to do when I get to Oregon? Am I going to be the person that, why did they recruit her? Because she's not good enough. You know, I'd never wanted to be seen as this person that was recruited and wasn't good enough to go to Oregon. So that kind of pushed me because I was a little bit nervous about that because I didn't have a ton of confidence in my abilities at the time either. You know, in the back of my mind, I was like, oh no, I'm taking a day off. Like, what if so-and-so is not taking a day off? You know, there wasn't really a lot of transparency among the softball world of how much you should work once you're committed to a school. I just had to make sure that I was on it because the last thing I wanted was for them to think they made a mistake or for me to not be prepared. I wanted to be the best I could possibly be so I'd be the most comfortable for my first year at Oregon.
Again, what you described sounds to me like kind of a double-edged sword. Yeah, that helped you stay prepared, but to have that kind of looming over you all the time, this fear of, you know, failure, not being good enough, not being up to the task, as you look back, how much of it all did that really weigh on you, and did it deprive you of anything?
I wouldn't say, I mean, maybe it deprived me a little bit of my ability to just have fun in softball. I'd say like the one year that sticks out to me in my high school career is my junior year, and that's probably where I learned the most about myself and learned the most about myself as a softball player. I really struggled on my travel team. I wasn't playing a whole lot. I'd gone from, you know, playing a lot on my teams to all of a sudden I'm not playing a whole lot. There's a lot of girls older than me. All of my travel team was committed to a big school, so I wasn't the only one. Everyone was going somewhere big, and so I was competing with the best of the best, and I wasn't seeing the results that I wanted to, and that was kind of the first turning point where I'm like, man, like, I'm struggling. You know, it was a really hard year, talking with my parents all year, and they were frustrated too, but I stuck it out and I ended up doing a lot better my senior year. But I think that's something that really helped me prepare for my freshman year because I realized from that junior year that I had experienced a lot of failure and a lot of disappointment in not starting. And coming here my freshman year, I knew what it took to, you know, kind of get out of that.
Push through.
Mm-hmm. And so if I wasn't going to start my freshman year, I was totally like at peace with it because I had been through it before and I knew that there were people better than me on every team that I've played on. And I just have to trust the process and keep working hard because it ended up paying off for me in high school. And so translating that to college is something that has really helped me throughout my career.
Ninkasi Brewing's Better Living Room is proud to be an official partner of the Oregon Radio Network. The Better Living Room is a community gathering space celebrating good food and great beer in Eugene's Whitaker neighborhood. Enjoy open bar seating or a sit-down meal in our family-friendly restaurant or dog-friendly backyard patio. Plus, watch all the big sporting events in our multi-TV rec room. More information, menus, and reservations at ninkasibrewing.com/Eugene. Perpetuate better living.
Triple of the year. And that one hit. Back. That is gone. The Quack Attack strikes first with two extra base hits here at the top of the first as they lead it off the home run of Allie Bunker. 2-0.
I was very blessed growing up with all four of my grandparents were in Southern California. My dad's side grandparents are just about a mile and a half away from me and literally neighboring my high school. So I was able to walk over from their house to school or to school to their house every day, which is what I did and what helped me, you know, stay grounded in everything that I did every given day. And after high school, I'd get out around noon and I'd go straight to my grandparents' house. I'd walk right over, I'd have lunch with them and play cards. And just having the relationship with both sets of my grandparents growing up was something that was really important for my parents and really important for me. Family's everything. And being able to have that relationship to hear my grandparents' experiences and everything they've done in their amazing lives is really cool. And I've been definitely blessed with that.
I would assume if you're doing well in the game, they're happy for you, but they don't really care. And if you're struggling in the game, they're worried for you, but there's bigger things in life. I imagine the value of interactions like that and just getting that wisdom at a young age was just immensely helpful. And you probably appreciate it more now than you did at the time.
Oh, yeah. Just like knowing that they didn't look at me as just an athlete. I mean, my parents obviously didn't look at me just as an athlete, but seeing my grandparents, not just my parents, you know, having conversations with me that weren't just all about what I was doing, you know, that it's like in the grand scheme of things, softball is softball. I mean, it's not life or death. And just having those conversations with them was really nice. And it still is really nice because it takes me away from, you know, how hard softball can get sometimes.
Yeah. Let's talk through your freshman year. You play under Coach Lombardi. There'd been a coaching change. There's a lot of players coming and going that year. Just a really tumultuous period for this program, and you stuck it out. Why was sticking it out the best decision for you? You've talked about things that you learned that the game and life had taught you at that point about grinding through tough times. And so maybe you were equipped to do that better than some other kids, but I'm sure, you know, there are other opportunities could have been available to you. Why did it make the most sense for you to stick with this program?
Well, I had been committed to Oregon for around 4.5 years, and I just never saw myself anywhere else. I never, ever considered any other option, and I knew that I had to stick it out, and I knew Missy Lombardi was a great coach. I mean, it's funny thinking about travel ball, and she was at OU at the time, and she would come and watch my games because I had teammates that were committed to OU. So it's just crazy to think that she actually came and saw me play, didn't necessarily watch me, but watched my team and saw me a few times. And so I knew and trusted that she was a great coach, and she had brought in great assistants. And I was honestly just really excited to start my year. I never once thought about transferring, regardless of what was going on. I was like, I'm here to stay. Like, this is the school that I want to be at. It's more than just about, you know, softball. I mean, this is a great school, great university, have all the opportunities in the world. And my parents confirmed that with me. I was like, yeah, this is where I want to be. Never really crossed my mind, to be honest, to leave.
I feel like you and Coach have some things in common personality-wise. I mean, a generally kind of serious demeanor about you and kind of a wisdom, you know, a maturity. Certainly can have some light moments too, but personality-wise, you feel like you and Coach just kind of click?
Yeah, we definitely are wired similarly with, you know, to-do lists and stuff like that.
Competitiveness.
Yep. At this time, I need to do this and whatnot. Yeah. So it's nice to have a similarly minded coach because we just get each other.
Yeah. Sense of organization, a sense of drive, right. All that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, your second year here, you know, which ends up being brought to a halt by COVID, you guys were off to an amazing start. And, you know, you've gotten back to being a postseason team the last couple years. But that first year, for a while, it looked like you were going to kind of shock the world and, you know, be a winning team and get to the postseason. And then kind of the last few weeks, kind of feel like circumstances just kind of all added up. What was it like to, as someone who is personally a perfectionist, to experience the kind of challenges you did that first year, you know, as a group?
Yeah, it was definitely hard. We had a very small roster, and I think that's what led to us struggling towards the end of season. Just not enough people and too many games going on. It's really hard into Pac-12 to even perform when you have a full team. But when you have, you know, half the team's injured, half the team's gone, it's just, it's crazy what we went through to think back at it. But I don't think I ever really thought about the wins and losses. I just, you know, enjoyed my time with the seniors. It was still my first year, so I still had a lot to learn. So I was more focusing on what I could learn to take into the next year versus, okay, well, this sucks right now. Like, we went into it knowing it was going to be tough.
Yeah.
So there wasn't any disappointment in the outcome because I knew the next year, and I had next year, I had a couple years, and I knew that this program was headed in the right direction.
You had spent high school preparing yourself to be as ready as possible. You get thrown into it as a freshman. Were you ready? You know, I'm sure there's a million things now. If you could tell yourself then, you might, you know, tinker with this, tinker with that. But you also have had a lot of success since you got here. So did it feel like all that work in high school to, you know, prepared you as well as it could have?
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't change anything that I did in high school. I wouldn't change my hard junior year because I think that prepared me for my freshman year.
Yeah.
Just knowing that things get hard, and I knew coming in that college softball was going to be the hardest level that I was going to compete in. And especially being a freshman, you go from travel ball pitching, which is decent, but you don't face consistent good arms every day, to college where you're consistently facing the best of the best. I already knew that there was going to be a learning curve, and because everybody knows it, everybody says it. So I didn't really have high expectations for the year. Didn't realize I was going to play until obviously we had a smaller roster. And so I was super happy that I was playing, also very scared at the same time. Those first few games, you're definitely quaking in your boots. The first time playing at UCLA or the first time playing at any of those big schools, it's really scary. Definitely was scared throughout the year. tried to hide it, and I'm sure all the other freshmen can say that we were all hiding our nerves a little bit. But after a while, I think we definitely settled into it and was like, okay, here we are. Here's our situation. Just going to play, try to have fun, try to forget about the outcome because it's not always going to be great.
Yo, one, Bunker. High fly ball. That's a no-doubt home run. Almost cleared the protective netting and left. Allie Bunker's seventh home run of the year, a three-run shot to make it a 9-0 second inning lead.
You know, we refer to the fact that, you know, you went through some struggles your freshman year, but you guys got back on track real quick. You are off to a 22-2 start before COVID brings the 2020 season to a halt. How kind of reaffirming was that for you guys as a group that, yes, this program that has a great tradition intends to continue in that tradition and playing at that high level, and that what you saw, some of the struggles from the freshman year, weren't going to become the norm around here?
Looking back on it, it seems crazy that we were able to build a team like that that quickly. And I give all the credit to Coach Lombardi for being able to recruit the right people for the program and just building up what we had already had. We had freshmen that had a lot of experience, which definitely helped us that year. But it was super cool to see us go from, you know, struggling every game to just to make it through a game because we had limited bodies on the team, to all of a sudden we have a full roster, we're healthy, we have a pitching staff, not just one or two, and seeing how far we can go with that. And I think we were riding a high all year that year before COVID hit and right before Pac-12 play started. We're like, wow, this team is good. And we're back where we were. Like, this is going to be a good year. So it was really unfortunate that COVID happened. And, you know, we were all crying after it got announced because we just knew how special the team was.
And yet COVID becomes clarifying for you personally, sort of reminded you there is a life outside the game as well. And so some of your excellence academically, you know, in completing your master's now stems from that period. You know, do you go home during COVID? And, you know, is there a couple days when you're just sitting on your bed staring at the wall wondering what the heck's going on in the world? Or do you find that, no, it's like I got classes, I have online school, I'm still kind of on, there's still a sense of momentum in your life?
Yeah, I think I really buckled down with school. I went home right after my last final of winter term. So it was the beginning of spring term where I went home. And I drove my car, all of my stuff, and I just planned on being at home for the long haul, even though we didn't know how long it was going to be. I just planned on being home for as long as they said we were going to be home. And I really worked hard in school. That was the turning point where I was like, oh, well, I have nothing else to do all day, so why not actually go and read the textbook and actually do the things that my professor says I should do to get prepared for an exam.
Instead of just, you know, we referred earlier to like, you know, I'm going to try to get an A in this class because that's the best you can do, but without much of a sense for actually gaining knowledge and really getting a deep understanding of the material.
Yeah.
That flips.
Oh yeah.
During COVID.
For sure. Where I finally understood what professors are talking about. I'm like, wow, if I do read the textbook, maybe I do understand this test question. And everything from there, I couldn't not work hard from there because I had tasted what it felt like to be actually knowledgeable in a course. And then from that point on, I was like, I really like that feeling. So let's just continue it. So yeah, during COVID, I think I took a couple summer classes online as well. So that kind of kept me a little bit busy. I did a lot of projects around the house with my dad. We painted the garage. We, you know, just did a lot of stuff outside. My neighborhood was all home. We had outside concerts and stuff with a neighbor down the street who sings and plays the guitar. So we kept ourselves busy, and I really enjoyed the time I had with my family. Had to stay a little bit far apart from my grandparents, but, you know, we sat apart from each other in the garage. Still got to see each other. So, yeah, I just thought it was a really cool time to be with my family. And at that point, I was considering, hey, maybe I'm going to get another year back and possibly get a master's degree. And that's something that I never thought of before. My grandma has a master's degree, but it wasn't something that I really thought about. And I was like, wow, like that'd be cool. So that was when I first started thinking about a master's degree.
You grew up around some really accomplished women. How has that impacted your life? And just in a way that, you know, maybe other teammates, friends you've had didn't have strong role models like that?
Yeah, I'd say I had a lot of women in my life that were strong role models. My mom, who, you know, who worked from a young age, who got her degree, continued to work through school, and then just got a job right after school as well. Never wanted to depend on anybody else for income. And that's what my grandma has always said too, is you never want to depend on another person. for your life or anything like that. And that was something that she always told my sister and I. And she's like, get educated, get a degree, go to school, do what you want to do, but always make sure you have something to fall back on. And yeah, those were the role models in my life that definitely influenced where I am today.
The 0-1. Bunker lines one into left field, a base hit. She rounds first, but we'll stop right there, give a little high five to her first base coach, and she just passed that first base coach for third place, most hits in a Ducks career.
You guys get back on the field in 2021, but it's a funky schedule. I mean, you're playing all West Coast teams, and the tradition of collegiate softball on the West Coast is strong. Do you wonder how that season could have gone? Because you end up making it to regionals. You did have to go on the road instead of hosting, which is, you know, obviously it would have been a huge benefit. Do you wonder how that season would have gone had you played like a normal non-conference schedule and then only got into conference play towards the back half?
Yeah, I think about that a lot. I think we played each Pac-12 team four times during the regular season, which is already hard enough to play each one three times, but we ended up playing a four-game series every single weekend. And then preseason, we were playing those same teams. So we ended up playing UCLA six times. And, you know, that could do a number to your record, playing good teams all the time. And I think it definitely prepared us the best way possible because we were playing postseason teams every single game. But also, you're getting penalized for not having as many wins as another team who's hosting. Right. So that was the one unfortunate part about it. But, you know, I wouldn't change it for the world because getting to play at Texas, it was a huge, like, huge stadium, crazy environment. And I think that with a very young team, we were pretty young at the time. And so being able to go into an environment like that at regionals during that year was definitely huge in our learning and huge in our development as a team and for me personally, because everything after that seemed a little bit easier. My heart was beating fast in Texas, but after that, I definitely learned how to control those big moments. And I think that was what set us up for success for the future.
Yeah, because you repeat that. You have, you know, you get to the postseason again last year. You're also nearing the end of your undergraduate career academically. Like, when does getting a master's, was it during, you said during COVID that like it occurred to you, like at what point are you like set on, I'm going to play a fifth year, I'm going to get my master's, I'm going to take advantage of all that?
I think pretty much as soon as the NCAA awarded everyone with another year for COVID, that was when it really sunk in that I was going to have another year to play. I never really doubted that I wanted to play. I knew that I wanted to. It's just about logistics and can I make that happen? Can that work here? And I all I wanted to do was play another year at the University of Oregon. And I was super happy and blessed that it worked out that way because I, you know, growing up had no other vision in my head but the University of Oregon. I wanted to start and finish my career here regardless of how many years I played. So that was definitely huge for me to be able to get a master's degree this year and continue playing at the school that I love.
And when you're playing as much as you are playing, do you have a sense, because you're now like top five in all these different offensive categories here on the career record list, like, do you have a sense that you're kind of building towards that over the last couple of years?
Not really. And
what does that mean? Like, what's it like to wrap your head around this program that you grew up kind of, you know, idolizing and to know that, you know, your name is going to be in the record books?
Yeah, it's insane to think about it. I still can't wrap my head around it because I came in freshman year not knowing if I was even going to play, see the field. I kind of didn't have expectations. I just wanted to have fun and be where my feet are. And so looking back now, it is insane. I can't even begin to explain how cool it is that I'm just like, I don't know. I'm good enough to be a big part of this program, which is really cool. And I can't say enough about what this university has given me and the opportunities that I've gotten from this university, just school, academic wise, athletic wise, and being able to be in the record books is just the cherry on top. So it's just, it's crazy, and I still won't be able to get over it probably for another year.
Hopefully, by the time this is published, there's still a few weeks left in your career. But as someone who's a perfectionist who always wanted to do things the right way and wouldn't accept anything less, you comfortable with for everything you've gone through, the way this 5 years has played out, you feel like you're going to be able to hold your head high as you look back on these 5 years?
Yeah, no doubt in my mind. I don't have any regrets of these past 5 years, not one. And that's something that we try to emphasize to the younger girls too, is, are you going to have regrets when you're gone? And my answer to that is no, which I'm very fortunate and lucky to be able to answer that question in that way. I mean, a lot of craziness happened in my 5 years, that's for sure. I mean, anybody from the outside or the inside knows that a lot of stuff went down. My freshman, sophomore, junior, I feel like I've only had maybe one or two normal years, but I wouldn't change that for the world, because it's made me who I am and made me a better athlete, a better person, and a better student. And I've learned so much more about myself going through all of these, you know, trials and tribulations that I would have if I just had an easy 5 years. So I'm very grateful for that experience.
And even if you're done playing for the Ducks, there's still a pro career left, and the door's still open to maybe be back on a softball field again somewhere later in life.
Possibly. Yeah, definitely want to play this summer for the Pride, the team that Haley Cruz played for. That's just crazy to think that I'm kind of following in her footsteps, because she was always someone I looked up to. So really cool, really crazy. Try not to look that far ahead yet, because I still am excited for postseason with this team and look forward to finishing out the year with my Ducks.
Thanks for joining us on the Mighty Oregon Podcast, a production of Sport and Story and Learfield IMG College. You can support the Mighty Oregon Podcast by going to wherever you find your podcasts to subscribe, rate, and review. I'm your host, Rob Mosley. Producer for the Mighty Oregon Podcast is Tony LaBarbara. Supervising producers are Bart Pullman and Kelly Shuchart. Executive producer at Sport and Story is Bo Mattingly. Theme music for the show is composed by Sweet 25.